You should have the handout that says the only begotten Son, 1 John 4, 9, and 10. And we're going to be looking at it today. We're thinking about the only begotten Son. Now, at this time of the year, when we think of Christmas, we think of Jesus Christ being born, and we celebrate the birth of Christ. God sent his Son into the world, the baby born in Bethlehem. But you realize 1 John 4, 9, 4, 9 basically says God sent his only begotten Son into the world. That's the birth. This morning we're going to look at the only begotten Son. We're going to look at the term only begotten. It may surprise you. If you happen to have an NIV, we're going to talk about something in just a minute as far as the way they translate only begotten. We'll see that. We want to look at five truths concerning the only begotten Son. We're going to talk about his birth and his life and his ministry and his death, and it all ties together. Let's start with a prayer and then we'll get into the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for your love to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this time of the year when we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, how at exactly the right time you demonstrated your love, you manifested your love, that you sent your only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And at this time of the year, Lord, we pray that we'll have opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ and the whole reason for Christmas, and that is the birth of the Savior, the one who would die and rise again. So, Lord, we ask you this morning as we look through our little study for Sunday school that you would show us some truths and some principles and things that we can apply right now in our lives. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for each one that has come this morning. Lord, may we know and understand your word. May Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, the word love is used all the time. We say, I love ice cream, and we love football, and we love history, and we love our brothers and sisters, and we love husband and wives. And most of our culture thinks love is a feeling, you know, but God's love is much more than that. God's love is a commitment. God's love is an action. God's love is a decision. How did God show his love toward us? He sent his only begotten Son into the world. John 3:16 is a famous verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son. That's what the love is, that he gave his Son. This is Christmas. And this is when we think about God giving his Son. Now, I know that we don't always think about it that way, but when we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, I get this online Jewish newspaper. I get it every day. Now, it's Jewish. It's from Israel. And it's all things all the time. But on there, they had a little parody, and they said, what do Jews think about Christmas? And there were these young Jewish couples, and they were decorating a Christmas tree, but they were making fun of it the whole time. I don't mean it bad. They were just saying, why do they put this? Why do they put this? But one of them looked and said, and why do they talk about Jesus as a baby? They didn't understand, do they? That God so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, had to be born into this world as a baby, as a human being. Why? Why? Why did he have to become a human being? To what? To die. Yeah, you got to be a human. He's got to be human to die, and to die for who? Human beings, exactly right. So they didn't get it, you know. This Christmas, we think about God sending his Son into the world, the baby born in Bethlehem to Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. But it all ties together, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the only begotten Son. I mean, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only, you know, God so loved the world, he gave his only what? Begotten Son. What does it mean, only begotten? NIV, anybody got an NIV? How does NIV translate it? He gave his one and only Son. That's wrong, by the way. It's wrong, and I'll tell you why as we go through it. Because one and only means what? That God only has one Son. Are you a child of God? Are you called a son of God? He has more than one Son then, doesn't he? We're going to talk about it here in just a minute, okay? Let's begin at 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at verse 9, and we're going to see some other places. And often when you think of the Christmas story, where do we go? When you think of Christmas story, where do you go? Luke chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be this morning. When we look at our service, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first part and then a little bit of the second part of Luke chapter 2. I also realize that Matthew chapter 2, also Galatians chapter 4, but let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, okay? It says, look what it says, by this the love of God was manifested in us. What's this? Well, he's fixing to say what it is. By this, God's love was manifested in us. Here's what he did. That God has sent what? His only begotten Son into the world. Why? What does it say? so that we might live through him. See, 1 John 4:9 is really the Christmas story. Here's that God showed us his love, that he sent his only begotten son into the world. That means he brought him into the world as a human being, being born as a baby, so that we might live through him. Okay, so notice that. God manifested. It means clearly, It manifested means clearly made known, clearly revealed. God revealed his love that he sent his only begotten son into the world. In fact, I think the next slide says that, that God sent his only begotten son into the world. Now, let's talk about only begotten for just a second, okay? It's a Greek word, monogenes, okay? And it means a unique. It doesn't mean the only one. Do you remember when Abraham was told to offer up his son? What's his son's name that Abraham was to offer up? Isaac. Did Abraham have more than one son? He had Isaac and Ishmael. But when God comes to him and says, Abraham, offer up your son Isaac, your only begotten son. It's the same aspect. One's a Hebrew word and it's been transliterated over into Greek. Did Abraham have more than one son? But he calls him your only begotten son. Means that Abraham offered up a unique son. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, it doesn't mean he's the only Son of God, because we're all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. It means he's the unique Son of God. So look at it this way. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his unique Son into the world so that we might live through him. It has the idea of one of a kind. Monogenes, the idea of unique, special, one of a kind. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see that at the beginning of this little thing, we're looking, and we're going to go to some other places, but by this, God's love was manifested, revealed in us, that God has sent his unique only begotten Son into the world, born in Bethlehem, so that we might live through him. So some great things, some powerful things. Let's look at five things about the only begotten Son. In fact, we're going to go to five passages that call him the only begotten Son. Okay? So let's start, and let's go to John chapter 1. Go ahead and flip back to the same author, but just the book of John, John chapter 1. And the first thing I want you to realize about this only begotten Son is this. Number one, the only begotten Son became a person. The only begotten Son of God became a person. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus Christ exist before he became a person born in Bethlehem? So he's always existed, right? Can you give me a verse that says that? How about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, you're God. The only begotten Son of God has always existed, right? He's the eternal Son of God. Huh? Before Abraham was, I am. How about John 1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, what beginning? Huh? That's not the beginning of the creation. The what beginning? See, Genesis 1 is the beginning of the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1 is the beginning when Jesus became a person. It says that which we have seen from the beginning. But in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with in the beginning with God. That's the eternal beginning. It's really not a beginning. God never, there was never a time God didn't exist, okay? So, here's what we see. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There he is. But here is something special. Look at verse 14. And the Word what? What did it do? Became flesh. That means became a human being and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the what? Only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten Son of God became a person. The Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Christmas story right here. This is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, becoming a person, the baby born in Bethlehem. Let me remind you of just, and we're not going to go to the verses, but let me remind you of Isaiah 7:14. There would be a virgin and she would have a what? What would she have? The virgin, there'll be a son. The virgin shall be with a child. She'll have a son. She'll have a little boy is what she's going to have. She's going to have a boy baby. And then if you think of Isaiah 9:6, unto us the child is born, unto us the, remember the verse? The son is what? Given. The son was not born. The child was born. The son was given. The son has always existed. The eternal, only begotten son of God has always existed. But at a point in time in history, the son, the child, was born. And so we have the only begotten son of God becomes a human being. This is the great story. This is the greatest truth. That the eternal God, who's always existed in three parts, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, would leave the glories of heaven and be born as a baby in Bethlehem. Remember what he said in 1 John? God manifested a love toward in us that he sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. It's a powerful truth. Well, let's think about this only begotten Son. He became a what? What's first? He became a person, right? Okay, there's more. Let's look at the second thing of the only begotten Son. The only begotten Son reveals the Father. He shows us what God is like. Look down at verse 18. You're still in John chapter 1. Look at verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, and that's referring to Jesus, because they're making sure that we know he's God there. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, which means is close with the Father, he has explained him. Who is the only begotten God in the bosom of the Father? Just Jesus. And what did he do? It says he has what? Explained him. That literally means he's made him known. He's revealed him. He's made known what God is like. Then no man has seen what? God at any time. You know, even when Moses wanted to see him, what did he say? Can't see me. You know, you can't. And no man has seen God and lived. Listen, when Jesus Christ became a human being, he veiled his what? He veiled his glory. If Jesus hadn't veiled his glory, it would have killed every person when he came to the earth. Until we get glorified bodies, we're not going to be able to do anything. In fact, we may never see the Father. We may never see the Father. Who's sitting on the throne? Who's got Jesus? So who knows? So anyway, we're going to see Jesus though, right? So it says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, there he is, who is in the bosom of the Father, whose close relationship with the Father, he has explained him. He has revealed him. He shows us what he's like. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's God. When those guys were with Jesus and they were hanging around with him, they're actually hanging around with God. They saw the character of God. They saw what God is like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. In Colossians, it says, in him, the fullness of the Godhead is expressed. In other words, in Jesus, when you see Jesus, you see the fullness of what God is like. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, he's the exact image of the living God. So Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son who has revealed the Father. So think about that. If you said, I want to know what God is like, what would Jesus say to you? Look at me. Look at me. If you've seen me, you've... In fact, that's what they did. Remember Jesus was talking and one of them said, show us the Father. And he said, I've been with you so long and you say, show us the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So the only begotten Son of God has explained him. So he's God who became a person who then reveals to us the Father. There was a third thing. Here it is. The only begotten Son came to bring salvation. He came to save us. He came to bring salvation. Look at just a couple of pages over to John chapter 3, okay? John chapter 3, most famous verse in the Bible, verse 16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten, unique special Son of God, that whoever what? Believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that God loved the world, that God gave the Son. God gave the unique Son. God gave the only begotten Son, so that he's going to die and rise again for us. But whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. He came to die in our place. He came to die in our place. That's why he has to become a what? A human being. Listen, God can't die, but Jesus Christ becomes a human being so he could die for what? For us. We all owe God what? What do we owe God? Death. And Jesus died in our place. I've got to tell you a story, and it's going to take just a little bit. I'm going to read some of it, but it's a picture of substitution because Jesus Christ died in our place. Listen to this story. I think I can get through it. It takes place in a death camp in Auschwitz. 4 million Jews died there during World War II. But a substitution happened there. There's a man by the name, his last name was Dejawicz, and he will never forget. It deals with another man by the name of Maximilian Kolbe. February 1941, Kolbe was incarcerated at Auschwitz. He was a Franciscan priest. In the harshness of the slaughterhouse, he maintained the gentleness of Christ. He shared his food, he gave up his bunk. He prayed even for his captors. And he was given the nickname, the Saint of Auschwitz. In July of that same year, there was an escape from the prison. It was the custom at Auschwitz that when a prisoner escaped, they killed 10 other prisoners. All the prisoners would be gathered into the big courtyard, and the commandant would come in, and he would read 10 random names from the roll. They would be brought forward, taken to a cell, and starved to death. That's how they got rid of them. The commander began calling names. At each selection, the prisoner would step forward and stand forward up there. The last name was a man named Dejawicz. Polish, as you can probably figure. As the SS officers called out his name, he began to sob. And he said, "My wife and my children." And he began to weep. The officers then hear a noise. And they hear a movement among the prisoners. And the rifles are raised. The dogs tense. A prisoner has left the row and coming to the front. It was Kolbe. There's no fear on his face. No hesitancy in his steps. The captain shouts at him and says, "Stop or you'll be shot." And he says calmly, "I would like to talk to the commander." For some reason, the officers don't kill him. Kolbe comes to the front, removes his hat, looks the German officer in the eye and says, "Herr Commandant, I would like to make a request, sir." No one shot him was a miracle. "I want to die in the place of that prisoner." He points at Dejawicz. The request is presented without a stammer. "I have no wife, I have no children, besides I'm old, and I'm not good for anything. He's in much better condition." He knew the Nazi mentality. "Who are you?" the officer asked. He said, "I'm a Catholic priest." Everyone is stunned. Uncharacteristically, the commander says, "Request granted." Prisoners are never allowed to speak. Dejawicz says, "I could only thank him with my eyes. I was stunned that I could hardly grasp what was going on, the immensity of it. I, the condemned, am to live, and someone else willingly dies in my place. A stranger." Dejawicz survived the Holocaust. He made his way back to his hometown. Every year, he goes to Auschwitz on August the 14th. He goes back to say thank you to the man who died in his place. And in Dejawicz's backyard, there's a plaque, and the plaque is carved with his own hands, and it says, "A tribute to Maximilian Kolbe, the man who died so I could live." Every one of us in this room have a substitute. It is Jesus Christ. We all are supposed to be separated from God. We all are supposed to be cast into the lake of fire. We're all supposed to be separated because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sins shall die, and not one of us deserve anything at all that we could be with God forever. And Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, left the glories of heaven to come and take our place. He became our substitute. So every one of us in this room, we're just like Dzerjinskiewicz. We ought to have a plaque saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Look at this. For God demonstrates his love toward us, you know, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Christ died for our sin, the just for the unjust. Jesus Christ tasted death for every person. When you think of Christmas, don't just think of a baby born in Bethlehem and how sweet that is. You think of the baby born in Bethlehem who is the Son of God who became a human being to reveal the Father, to die in our place so that we might live. That's what Christmas is really all about. Notice again John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I think there are two things there. Whoever believes by faith will have eternal life. That's the gift. I want you to think about it. By faith. Whoever believes in him, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We've got a whole world full of people who think you do something to get to God. And God says it's a gift, it's grace. Jesus has already done it all. He's a satisfactory payment. He's everything. He died for us as our substitute. And all we do is believe. And remember, what second? You get a gift. The gift is eternal life. Not perish, but have everlasting life. The only begotten Son became a person. The only begotten Son revealed the Father. The only begotten Son is the one who died so that we might live to give us eternal life. But we're not through. There's some more. Look at this. The only begotten Son is the only way of salvation. Society thinks there's a lot of ways to God. You just say, oh, you know, there's one God and all kind of ways to him. And Jesus said just the opposite. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Look at verse 18 of John 3. We looked at 16, but look at verse 18. He who believes is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of who? The only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son is the only way of salvation. Society thinks there are many ways, but there's only one way. He who believes is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already because they've not believed. Yeah, there's something, I heard some kind of something weird there. Yeah, I just keep going. Is that okay? Just keep playing with that. Can y'all hear? Is it coming out? Yeah. It's coming out over here, but not coming out over here. What do you know about that? Okay, listen on this side of your ears, okay? All right, so we're thinking that he's the only basis for salvation. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Acts chapter 4, there's only one name given under heaven among men while we might be saved. 1 Peter 3, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust. Look at these verses right here. I got to go on to the next one, I'm sorry. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The only way. What have we seen so far? The only begotten Son is God who became a person. The only begotten Son is the one who reveals the Father. The only begotten Son is the one who died and rose again, his death and resurrection, to give us eternal life by faith. The only begotten Son is the only way of having eternal life. And there's one more. And we turn back to 1 John chapter 4. So go back to 1 John 4. It's where we started. And by the way, on your handout, I think there's a place that says 1 John 5. It's supposed to say 1 John 4. I think it says does it say 1 John 5, 10 somewhere on one of your handouts? You should have a handout if you don't have it. But it's supposed to say 1 John 4, but it says 1 John 5. I think when I looked at it this morning, anybody over there? It says 5. It should say 4. Okay. Here's the last one. The only begotten Son satisfies God. Think about it. Only begotten Son became a human being. The only begotten Son revealed the Father. The only begotten Son died and rose again to give eternal life. The only begotten Son is the only way of salvation. But finally, the only begotten Son is the one that satisfies God. Look again at 1 John 4:9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his what? His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now watch what it says. And this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son, this only begotten Son, to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment. Propitiation means satisfactory payment. Jesus Christ died and paid the payment, and God says, I am satisfied with that payment. 1 John 2:2, he's a satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Now, I want you to think about something. Our whole world, many, many people think they have to do something to satisfy God. I got to go to church. I got to be good. I got to live a good life. I got to get baptized. I got to walk down the aisle. I got to be willing to serve God. I got to do something to satisfy God. The truth is, God is already satisfied in Jesus Christ. There's not one thing any of us in this room could do to satisfy God. He's already satisfied. If you came to God and said, what do I need to do to satisfy you? God would say, I'm already satisfied. I'm satisfied in my Son, Jesus Christ. He is the satisfactory payment, not for your sins, but for the sins of the entire world. He is the satisfactory payment. We don't satisfy God. We take the gift that God has for us. We're not earning our way to God. We're not doing something to satisfy God. God's not our enemy like this going, let me see what you got. He says, I'm already satisfied. Jesus has done it all. I'm offering you the gift. And it's through the only begotten Son. So what do we think? The only begotten Son became a person born in Bethlehem. That's Christmas. The only begotten Son revealed the Father through his life and ministry. The only begotten Son died to give eternal life. He died on the cross and rose again. And that eternal life comes by faith. The only begotten Son is the only way of salvation to all who believe. And the only begotten Son made the payment that satisfies the Father. Let me give you a couple applications, then we'll open up for questions because we're going to get through just a touch early, okay? Which I don't think anybody cares if we get through early or not, but let me give you a couple applications and we'll open up. First of all, at this Christmas season, let's tell of God's only begotten Son. That's what it's all about, isn't it? As that Jewish person said, why do they talk about the baby? That's what she said. And she was making fun. Like, why do these Christians, when they celebrate the Christmas tree, why do they talk about baby Jesus? That's what she said. Why do they talk about baby Jesus? Because the baby Jesus, that's when God became a person. That's when the Son of God became a person to reveal the Father so he could die and rise again, so he could be the satisfactory payment, so he could be the only way to save mankind. That's why Jesus became a baby. So let's think about it. Hey, he's God who became a person to bring salvation for us. So when you're with your families on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and everybody's talking about Christmas and you know, you look at the TV shows. I saw one last night, and they said, Christmas is all about friends and family and being together. That's what Christmas is. No, it's not. Christmas isn't about family and friends. Christmas is about the Son of God being born into the world to die for us to be our Savior. Now, if we got family and friends and love everybody and be together and all that, that's the most wonderful thing, but that's not what Christmas is about. You could do that anytime, couldn't you? It's not happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. So he's God. I'm sorry, leave it on that first one for just a second. He's God who became a person to bring salvation. B, Let's worship Jesus Christ this Christmas. So this morning, when we have the service, I mean, there's going to be children singing, great music. All of those are opportunities to worship, because worship is responding to God. And so this morning, we're going to respond to God. And as we look at Luke chapter 2 this morning, let's worship Jesus Christ. And as we go home, as we go to be with our friends and our families and presents and all the things that we do, keep the focus on Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son who became a person to reveal the Father, to die and rise again and bring salvation, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to come to the Father except through Him, and He is the one that satisfies God's plan. Let's proclaim this season the only begotten Son, born in Bethlehem, the Savior, the satisfactory payment, the one who gives eternal life to all who believe.